Welcome to Season 11 of the Tips for Homeschool Science Show, where we're breaking down the lofty ideals of writing and science into building blocks you can use in your homeschool. I'm Paige Hudson, and today we're going to chat about notebooking. Let's dig in. We're back with new episodes for the 11th season of the Tips for Homeschool Science Show. In this season, we're going to talk about writing and science. I've gotten a lot of questions lately about lab books, notebooks, narrations, and how we can record what our students are learning in science. And so that's exactly what we're going to do this season. I thought it was about time that we recorded an entire season that looked at the third key to teaching science. Remember, each week we want to do, read, and write. So we're going to focus on the write part of the three keys for this season of the Tips for Homeschool Science Show. So we'll start the season with my favorite method of writing in science, which is notebooking. I had never heard of this before we started homeschooling, but I've absolutely grown to love this tool, and I've seen the benefits of using it over the long haul. After that, we'll chat about lap books and notebook pages, including how to decide which one's right for your homeschool. Then we'll answer some of the most common questions that I've heard about writing in science, and we'll sprinkle a few guests into the season as well so that you can meet some of the voices that have influenced and helped me over the years when it comes to writing in our homeschool. Sound good? Great. Let's dig in with the discussion about notebooking. As I said, I had no idea what notebooking was before we started homeschooling. In fact, I was one of those unicorn students in school who actually liked worksheets. Maybe it was the fact that my mom was a teacher, or maybe it was because I clearly knew what was required in my response. I still appreciate worksheets, as they have their place, but I've fallen in love with notebooking. I understand how valuable it is to have our students narrate rather than respond with regurgitated facts. There are no canned responses in notebooking. There are no blanks to fill in. There are no answers to match up. Instead, the student needs to mull over what they've just read and formulate a summary of what they've learned. In short, notebooking requires that the student engage with the material before they write down a word. And I know from experience that using this method of writing, the narration with the notebooking, students are far more likely to remember what they are learning. And when they write this down, the chance for them internalizing this material and remembering it goes up exponentially. So notebooking allows our students the freedom to write down what they found the most interesting and meaningful facts that they read. So we're talking about what we've learned. They're interacting with the material. They're writing it down, which will help them remember the facts. And that's why notebooking is so beneficial to our students, why it's so much more than just a regurgitation of facts on a comprehension worksheet. So notebooking has two key components, the material component and the visual component. Those are just fancy words to mean that the material component is what the students write, and the visual component is a picture that relates to the topic you're learning about. These two pieces stimulate different parts of the brain, which actually helps to solidify the information into our students' minds because they work together. So the material component of notebooking contains the information that the students have learned. It should be a record of what the student finds meaningful, so a fact or two, or a documentation of what you want them to remember, so they can share what they remember, what they found meaningful and interesting, and then you can also share with them facts that you want them to remember, and these things can both be written on their notebooking page. You can get this information by asking open-ended questions like, what did you find interesting about what we just read? Or what do you remember from what we just studied? These questions can help the student formulate what they want to write down before they write down a word. So we've talked about in the past how important it is to have that science discussion time. And so that's what we want to do. We want to read the information to our students. We want to ask a few questions. And then we want to write down our notebooking page, that material part of our notebooking page. If you want the students to document specific information, you can ask them leading questions, basically questions that are designed to give you the information you want. These answers will help them plan out their desired response. Okay, and make sure that they get the information that you want them to be writing down on the notebooking page. So, in a nutshell, the material component is the written record of the facts that the student has studied. And then we have that other component, the visual component of notebooking, that displays a picture of the concepts that the students have studied. So you can print out an actual picture, you can make a copy of a real life photo, they can trace a photo onto their notebooking page, or they can draw their own version. You can get these pictures from the internet, from the encyclopedias that you're reading from, or just from their own memory and experience. The key here is to have the students use an illustration that relates to the information that they've written down. So in other words, if we're talking about plants and seeds and they're writing down information about seeds, we don't want to put a picture of a lion with it because those two things don't go together. So we may put a picture of our seed collection. We may trace the seed that we see. We may trace a picture that you see in the encyclopedia, but we want that material component and the visual component to be about the same subject so that they work together to really solidify that information in our students' brains. So that's what notebooking allows our students to do. It allows them to interact with the material in a meaningful way, to write down the things that they found interesting or the facts that we want them to remember. And then it's got that written component along with the visual component. So the two work together to really help our students remember what they're studying. The wonderful thing about homeschooling is that we have so many options. So we can pick the tool that works best for our kids. And notebooking is flexible enough to make this possible. So you can arrange these two components of notebooking in many different ways. You can create a full notebooking page, a sheet with a picture up in the top and written lines off to the side. You can create a lap book, which will have the picture on the front of a mini book and then their written narration inside the mini book. You can create a booklet. You could create a poster. You can create anything that your student's imagination can make up, as long as there's some kind of written components and some kind of visual component. However you choose to use notebooking in your homeschool, the material and visual components help to solidify the information into your students' minds. We've got lots more coming up over the season about writing and science. But for now, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a great week playing with science. Did you know that all the programs at Elemental Science use notebooking? And many of these have both a lap book and a notebooking page option. If you're looking for a science unit that has both a lap book and a notebook, you'll want to check out our Science Chunks series. This series puts you in charge of your science studies for the year. You can pick and choose the units you want to study and the ones that interest you and your student. Plus, with two levels of reading and writing, you can incorporate the whole family. Visit elementalscience.com to learn more.